This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT, praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
John 15, verse 14 says, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Jesus speaks these words as he is sharing in this discourse with the disciples about the revelation and reality of the love that he has imparted unto them, and sharing with them the divine nature of the God kind of love that he has bestowed upon them, and sharing with them that it's not enough to receive that love and hold on to that love and simply live in that love, but we must be able to share that love, to release that love, and to be expressions of that love. And one of the things that Jesus is trying to help them understand above all other things is that the reason he is even here is because of the Father's love for us. That he, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, was the only one capable of coming down from glory and bringing mankind, God's chiefest creation, who had slipped away from him and fellowship from him and broken relationship with him because of sin. Jesus was the only one worthy to come down and bring man back into a right relationship with God. Now listen to this. Jesus is not long from this time that he's speaking, getting ready to go to Calvary. And while he's speaking about the love that emanates from the Father through him to us, he doesn't want it to stop with us, but that it might continue to flow from us to others. Look again what he says in verse 9. "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you." Now notice what he says next. "Continue ye in my love." Now, he's saying, I have given you something so precious from the Father above, and I've given it to you not for it to stay in you, but for it to be shown through you, demonstrated through you, expressed through you. He says, "Continue ye, you, in my love." Now, he goes on in verse 10 and says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. No two or three questions about it. If you keep the word of God, you will abide in his love. Why? Because he goes on to tell us in that verse, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. This is a refresher from last Sunday. You ought to know this. He goes on to say, again, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Now listen at this, my brothers and sisters. When you look at joy, joy emanates from Jesus. But what Jesus is most joyous about is the Word of God. It is that Word that Jesus personifies that he has placed in us. How do you know this, preacher? Because the seventh verse says, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto who? Unto you. Now, he's telling you how to get a prayer through, how to get favor from God, how to get a breakthrough, how to get a healing, how to get a deliverance. How do you get it? If you keep his word. If you abide in his word. But he shifts, listen, from being connected and abiding in the vine, which he is the true vine, into understanding that all of that comes by way of the love of the Father. And because of the love that the Father has for him and he has for us and we should have for one another, he wants us to know that the only way we can continue that is through the Word. I've shared with you before and I'll say it again. The only way that we have the understanding to love one another in spite of one another is because of the love of God. I couldn't love you the way I'm supposed to love you if I didn't have the Word of God to guide me and to teach me and to refresh me and to remind me that he looked beyond my faults and saw my needs, that he blessed me when I didn't deserve to be blessed. He loved me when I was unlovable, doing unlovable things and not representing him right. He still loved me and gave me a love that washed me fresh in his blood and cleansed me, picked me up from the muck and mire, turned me around, place me on higher ground because of his love, not because I deserved it. And so when I look at my brother or sister and I want to do something else, the Bible reminds me of what he did for me. Can I tell you, when you start acting holier than thou, like you're perfect and don't want to love everybody like he said, he, the Holy Spirit, reminds you that he loved you when you were unlovable. If I'm lovable at all, it's because he who is lovable lives on the inside of me. It's not because I'm that, all that, done all of that, been all of that, and think I'm all of that. It's because his love has taught me how to love. How many times have you met believers who have grown in the Lord and know that the love of God has been shed abroad in their hearts and has changed many things about their realities, and they have to laugh themselves when circumstances and situations arise that when back in time they were not where they are now, didn't have what they have now, didn't know what they know now, they would have said, Lord, I know he has changed me. Because had they done that not long ago, it would have been on and popping. Any witnesses in the house? Somebody know they've been changed? Somebody talked about you and you say, bless you. Somebody lied on you and you say, I'm going to pray for you. Somebody tried to mishandle you, said, I'm going to put you in the hands of the Lord. But that was a time when they would have done that and you would have been all up in there. Face, and it wouldn't have been nice. back in the time when you would have cursed or cussed, you now pray. Am I talking to anybody in the house? Am I the only one who's been touched? And I ain't trying to say right now, because he's still perfecting me. I ain't saying right now, if you get on my last, if you catch me when I'm not prayed all the way up, you still might get a word here or there that I've got to say, Lord, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Jesus, if you don't help me, somebody gonna get hurt up in here. Y'all not hearing me, yeah? But love changed me and is changing me and is changing you. And so he says, 12, this is my commandment. Listen, that ye love one another as I have loved you. It's not a suggestion. It's not a thought. It's not a hint. It is a command. Who is he talking to? To the believers. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the believers. And if you are a believer, it's a command. See, that's one of the reasons why Jesus said to his disciples, you know, the only way that men will truly know that you are my disciples is if you have love one to another. Why? Because love covers a multitude of faults, of sins. Love does not seek to expose the sins and the weaknesses and the wickedness of those who have fallen. But love seeks to deliver them from all of those oppressions that cause them to fall. You remember when the woman was brought in the temple, Jesus was teaching, and some hypocrites, religious hypocrites, church hypocrites, leadership hypocrites, brought her before Jesus with a sheet wrapped around her nude body, threw her down before him, bringing her to an even lower disgrace and shame, and says, Master, Moses in the law says that when one has been caught in adultery, that she should be stoned. But what do you say? Talking all this love talk. What is your opinion? What is your stance on this matter? And Jesus stooped down on the ground, and the Bible says he began to write. And I don't know, I wasn't there, and certainly Scripture does not pinpoint the reality of those words that were written. But if I, like so many other preachers, may be allowed to use my sanctified imagination, the word recalls that he stooped down twice and wrote. And one of the things in between his sayings that convicted the hearts of those hypocrites who brought the woman who was caught in adultery and didn't bring the man. It might have been because one of the men was a part of the good old boy group. Or it could have been one of them. And so they wanted to prove a point, but they didn't want to expose their brother, because their brother also had a notebook of all those who had been with her also. So it's like, if you tell on me, I got my notebook, I'm going to tell on you. So they didn't bring him, but they brought her. And so Jesus wrote. And so what did he write? Somebody suggests that he wrote sins, just a whole lot of sins. He wrote them down on the ground. And then he said, if ye who is without sin, present here today, paraphrased, cast the first stone. And then he stooped down again. And this time he started writing names. Now, line A, he had sins. Line B, he had names. And when he told them to cast the first stone, they did not cast the first stone, but they were waiting like they wanted him to do something else. So he did. He started connecting the names to the sins. I wish I had a helper. And the Bible says that they looked and they went out from the eldest. To the youngest. I'm just trying to tell you, even though you might know not what your brother does, the Lord does know. And because, listen, he was showing them, I know what it is you did in the dark. I know what you did when you thought it was in secret. Y'all getting quiet on me. I know your sins. And he made clear to them that while they were exposing her, he could do the same to them. And they walked out. And when he lifted up himself, he said, where are thine accusers? She looked around and she said, they're gone. And he said, the ones who had a biblical right, supposedly, if they were perfect to cast the stone and they didn't, I won't do it either. Go and sin no more. Hang up a sign on your door, out of business. Change my profession. No longer a loose woman, but a missionary for y'all gonna get. That was another woman by the well. Y'all know she was a loose woman. Most men in town knew her reputation. And she had gone to the well when Jesus had gone to the well to drink from that well. And he asked her for a cup of water. And she began to say, how can this be, a Jew asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a cup of water? You know we have no dealings. And Jesus began to unfold her life before her. And when she heard all of the things that he told her, not ever knowing her, she left her cup and her bucket and ran back to town and told all of those so-called men, those players, come see a real man who told me everything ever I did. But listen at this, you see, because that's what real love is. Real love is not knowing who you are and what you are. Real love is knowing who you are and what you've done and loving you in spite of that. So that's why when folks start talking about when they first meet, oh, I love you. Oh, I love you too, because you don't know nothing about each other.
just start learning some stuff about them and see how that love winds up diminishing the more you learn. And then you'll be like, oh no, if I knew this, I never would have. But Jesus knows everything to know about us that there is. And in spite of that, he loves. So you won't talk about somebody loving you for who you really are. Jesus is the one who truly loves you. That's why you ain't got nothing to hide from him, because he knows everything about you, even the thoughts that you think. And Lord knows that sometimes the thoughts that you think are worse than the things that you've done. And in spite of, can I get a witness in this house? Lord, if Jesus himself were to reveal some of the thoughts that you set and think in the church, less known outside of the church. Oh my God. So listen to what he says. And I'm going to bring this to a close. He says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now, what's interesting is this, is he's talking about friends, but he's not talking about in terms of mutual relationship of his love. He's talking about friends that he has made the object of his love. You see, in other words, when Jesus calls us friends, it's not because we've been a friend to him. Are you hearing me today? Just like he called Judas friend, when Jesus knew that Judas was going to betray him from the very beginning. As a matter of fact, in John chapter 6, verse 70, he said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? You see, he loved Judas enough to give him a chance to change, but he chose not to change. And yet Jesus gave him as much love as he gave everyone else. And when Judas finally sold him out and came for him, Judas had told him, the one that I kiss, hold him fast. And Jesus says, wherefore hast thou come, friend? Friend. Now, would a friend sell you out? No, but Jesus was not calling him a friend in terms of mutual relationship. Jesus was calling him a friend as an object of his love and an object of his friendship. So I want you to notice here that when you have the love of God and you show the love of God, as Jesus is demonstrating in this verse, that your love will cause you to friend others who are not friends to you. In other words, when you demonstrate a love so rich and so pure, it is the only kind of love that a brother, again, in Christ could give. As a matter of fact, when you have this kind of love, it's greater than the natural love of a family love. For he says, this is the kind of love. The Bible says, brethren are born for adversity. But there is a love, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that love that shows up in that friend is far greater than the love that's demonstrated in a brother that shows up in adversity, because when a brother helps out another brother, it's because we're family. It's because it's my responsibility. It's my obligation. We've got the same blood flowing through our veins. I would not be who I'm supposed to be to you, my brother, my sister, not helping you, because we're family. But when a friend steps in and does something that a brother will not do or goes beyond what a brother will do, it's because of the love that that friend has that is greater than the love of a brother.
And that's what Jesus was demonstrating. His love was greater, listen at this, than any of your relatives. That's some rich love. He's done some things you got some family folk that wouldn't do for you. He's heard your call. He's been by your side. He has stood your case. He has represented you. He's been with you. He's kept you. He's never left you nor forsaken you like a whole lot of family folk have done. He's showing you he has a greater love than any man can ever show you or share with you. Why is he saying this? Because he's referencing Calvary. And that's why the believer has got to know the power of the cross of Jesus Christ and what it represents. You see, you've got to realize that everything that concerned you in the earth realm and the spiritual realm was won at Calvary. Every sin, sickness, disease, poverty, every problem that you had, Jesus defeated it at Calvary. But spiritually, he empowered you through his blood, washed you and cleansed you, and made you more than a conqueror and a victory through his life and blood at Calvary. So when you have an issue in your life, a problem in your life, and you recount the blood of Jesus Christ and what it did at Calvary for you, it reminds the devil afresh that he's been defeated by your elder brother Jesus at Calvary.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I'm preaching. Push five people and tell them, I got victory. Go ahead. I've got victory. You may be seated. On August 11th, 1969, Pastor O.C. Williams and his pretty wife, Dorothy, welcomed their fifth and final child to this world. They named her Victory Rose Vernon. I'm not sure if they were cognizant of the double entendre that her name represented. You know, this whole idea of double entendre, ambiguity, or something that can say the same thing but mean different things. This whole double entendre. I mean, they named her Victory. So when you say Victory or Vic, her whole family hears you calling her Victory. They simply hear you calling her name. So let me get this straight. Her parents, O.C. Williams and Dorothy, named her Victory, which in a very real sense put a target on her back because her name bespeaks something that the enemy hates. the enemy hates to see people walk in victory. So in a very real sense,